Oh, we call that a dramatic pause in the business. Welcome in to a fun Friday on the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, his last day at Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. He'll be back here on Monday. Sitting in today is the good man, Connor Newt, who's on a marathon today. Connor, how are you, buddy?
I am halfway to the finish line, but I'm a glass half full person, not a glass half empty. So I'm kind of sad that it's halfway through my big opportunity of the day.
Your big opportunity. You get opportunity on the weekends, right?
I do. Yeah, we'll be on the air tomorrow.
Behind the glass, Parker Kelly. Now, am I to assume that Parker Kelly's taking over for Jake Lyman now? Is that what we're doing here? Or did I overstep my bounds?
Once Connor goes back to school.
Once I return to campus, he will be
okay.
Lyman's producer. But as of now, I am the man in charge.
Okay, so Parker, you're not jumping on the – do we have a new title for the show?
We do. It's called Weekend Huddle.
I like it.
Yes.
From 9 to when?
9 to 12 for these 2 weeks, and then once football starts, we're going back to 9 to 11.
Going back to 9 to 11.
Okay, now you're joining the show.
I am.
Parker.
I am.
Okay.
I'm excited.
You're joining the show tomorrow? I'm so confused.
Yes, he will be on tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow will be our first episode. Yep.
All right. And then Jake Lyman, since he got bumped up to the major leagues,
we're good.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. How was the last 3 hours?
They were good. They flew by, man. Text line, you guys are great. You guys always bring the goods.
We really have a great audience, don't we?
I am very excited to see the audience for this show because I know it's a different audience.
It's a different audience, but they're fantastic. They always save our tail. We can't remember things. Today is August the 8th. That means it's 8-8.
Jeff Fisher.
Happy Jeff Fisher Day, 8-8. Now, it's funny. I post the same picture every year, Jeff Fisher in those pleated sacks.
Every field goal.
Right? Every field goal. And so people are like, well, he only went 8-8. Five or six, I don't forget how many time it was, but it's just funny because we think of Jeff Fisher, we always think of 8-8, even though he was a really good football coach.
Yes.
So 96, 97, and 98, they went 8-8. I think they went 8-8 in 06 and a few of the years, like maybe 09 they did or right. But anyway, it's just fun having fun with it. But it's funny, Connor, when I post that picture of Jeff Fisher on Happy Jeff Fisher Day, the divide is vast. It's like, bring that guy back or I never want to see him again. And I'm like, that dude got you
just
to the Super Bowl.
Just like his record.
Right. He got you to the Super Bowl. And I'm telling you, in the 2000s, when this team came to town, that dude, for a lot of fans, could walk on water.
I mean, has there been a coach that impactful that has walked into the city since him?
Vrabel was getting there.
Yes.
Vrabel was getting there, but Vrabel is a meathead and would rub people the wrong way. But he's still a lot of people that liked him. It's because the Titans, when they came here in 97, but the Titans in 99, they were new, they were fresh, they were Nashville's team. You know, it's like, we're excited. So there'll never be anything like that ever again.
Right. No, for any team in Nashville.
No.
Because the Predators sort of had that too. Obviously, they're not as well-renowned here in the city as the Titans are.
Right.
We love the Predators. They're great partners to us, and we love covering them. But Titans are football. Football. Nashville is a football city.
Yes, it is.
Yep. So the Titans, this was obviously before I was born, but
God, that's so crazy.
The Titans coming here is probably a top three moment in this city.
Oh, it might be closer to the top. I mean, it's because Nissan wouldn't be here. Bridgestone would not be here. Oracle wouldn't have moved here.
Right.
That Music City Center wouldn't have been here. So, anyway, happy Jeff Fisher Day on 8-8 as we celebrate Jeff Fisher on this day. So, you can weigh in 615-737-1025. We got a fun question of the day. We'll get to it in a moment. But first of all, we're talking with Titans play the Bucks tomorrow night, and I heard you were on the show earlier. You know, a lot of unknowns. What are we going to see about Cam Ward? Is he going to play one series, two series? What if they go on a 17-play drive? Is that enough to see Cam Ward? I don't know what's going to happen. All I know, I want to see him out there.
Yes, he has to be out there in some capacity. My plan for him was I think he should play a quarter this game, a half next game, and then whatever you can get out of him in Minnesota.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They're going to throw him out there for a maximum of like three series.
I want to see more of that. You know, it's only like 10 series during a game. I mean,
right.
There's not like he got 37 drives on a game. But I think if you see him out there and what he could do tomorrow night on the road, and I want to see he leads the team to the huddle lineup. There's a lot of little things that go on. I want to see if Cam Ward could do that. I think the third game here, the Vikings game, I want to see him play because it's a home crowd. Get him fired up, feeling good before they go to the road to Denver and see what happens. But I'm not expecting a lot from him tomorrow night. But, I mean, his practice, you've been out there and Parker's been out there. So erratic, man.
It's the most bipolar practice I think I've ever seen.
Right? Yeah.
Like, 1 minute he looks like an elite-level quarterback and he looks like he's going to lead this team to the promised land. And then the next he goes out there and he throws a pick right across the middle on an easy route. That picked off by Cody Barton of all.
Uh-huh.
But that's what you expect from a rookie quarterback. I mean, ups and downs, there have to be.
Right.
It's not all going to be sunshine and rainbows.
We talked about this, Parker, when you were out there. You played quarterback in college. I mean, he got lazy and thrown off his back foot. I think that's a problem, man. I think it's a big problem they got to work on.
Learning what he can and can't get away with, and he loved to throw up the seams at Miami, and now the hash marks they're so condensed, so that's an adjustment playing his mind tricks on you.
Preach, brother, you're right. Parker Kelly getting it done in there.
He's a football guy,
right?
Football guy.
It's like John Gruden says, you either like football or you love football.
Yep, God loves football.
He loves football.
Problem is, Parker is so handsome. We got, I mean, it's kind of like he starts talking.
You do
it's
have
like,
a thing for these handsome producers.
It's like Robert Redford back there, man. I'm telling you. Yeah. What the heck's going on back there?
One day I'll be able to elevate to on-camera like both of you.
That's the day you can say I officially made it. Back to the goes on. All right, I'm going to get to our question of the day.
Okay.
Because I love these non-football Fun Friday questions, right? There's a list that came out today. We love lists. And it ranked the top 50 funniest movies of all time. And I got a real problem with the list.
Oh?
I got a real problem with the list. And so we're going to ask you guys today, because I think our listening audience is much better than this list I saw. What's the funniest movie of all time? Of all time, what is the funniest movie? 615-737-102. And I'll read this list coming up in a little bit that they think they think the funniest movie ever made is The Hangover.
It's fine.
Ever made, number one.
The funniest movie of all time? Yeah. The Hangover?
Yep.
I like it. Now, the sequels I thought were terrible.
Sequels were not good. Yes.
They were not good. The first one's fine. Like, I think Bradley Cooper is fine. And I think, who is it? Zach Galifianakis is in it. He's funny. But there are way better. Like, go back 20 years. There are funnier options.
Yeah, right. So The Hangover is number one for everybody there. So we want to hear from you what you think the number one funniest movie of all time is. And there's some on this list. I was like, what? Huh? I've never heard of this and that. And it goes on. But it's always fun to talk about that because it's a fun Friday. What do you think the funniest movie is of all time?
I have
all
a
time.
All time?
What comes to mind immediately?
Wayne's World.
Wayne's World is, according to this, Wayne's World, if I'm having to look for it, is not on the list.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
That's one of the most quotable movies of all
right?
time.
Right? What do you think, Parker? What's your the funniest movie of all time is?
I'm a big Adam Sandler guy. So, have you ever seen what is it? Just go with it.
Just go and
Blended. I like Blended a lot.
Well, we need to have the title first before you
just go with it.
Just go. It's not on there. It's not on. The only Adam Sandler movie I see are Grown Ups at 28.
Is Happy Gilmore the original not on there?
Let me see. Happy Gilmore comes in at number 8.
Okay.
Has the I don't think it should be in the top 50. That's
really?
Me.
Okay.
I want to laugh the whole time.
What did you think of Happy Gilmore 2? Have you seen it?
The first 30 minutes, fantastic. The last half, I was like, all right, get this thing over with.
Yeah.
Get it over.
I haven't seen it yet.
What about you?
Too many cameos for me. Way too many. I'm
73,
in agreement.
Is that right?
I'm surprised they didn't ask me, you, or Connor to be in there.
Right. To do all those that go on. We'll get this list. We want to hear from you guys throughout the show today. What is we think the funniest movie of all time is? This list was ranked by Circle Ranks app users. Those have gone to the movie and seen those. So, yeah.
I could go rank movies, and it would be a public occasion.
We should do that.
Yeah, me and you. Let's go after the show.
By the way, I'm changing your nickname. For those that know Connor Newt, great producer here. You're in school at MTSU, right?
Yes, sir.
What, your last year?
Yes, sir.
All right. So I gave you the nickname Connor, but Connor Newt has a Newt Gingrich, the speaker that I called you Mr. Speaker.
Yeah.
Nobody here got it but me, and I laughed everything.
But I like it.
I know. But we're changing your name to something more sports-centric.
Okay.
So Connor, in honor of Chuck Connors, you know who he is? Probably don't. TV show called The Rifleman, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was the first guy he played in the NBA and played Major League Baseball. He was the first, I think, dual sport popular athlete. He had the first breaking of the backboard in the NBA. He played for the Boston Celtics. So your new nickname is now The Rifleman. It's simple.
I love that.
Powerful. It's like I'm the Rifleman.
I love that.
People are like, what, Chuck Connors? So Chuck Connors was in a TV show called The Rifleman, which
a Western?
A Western, man. It's a great, and he's the first guy to break the third wall in TV.
Wow.
Because he's walking, the credits are on the beginning of the series. He's walking down the middle of the street in some Western town, and at the very end, he looks at the camera and he walks off. It's the first time somebody broke the third wall on TV, and so we love it. So you're now the Rifleman.
I love that, actually.
The Rifleman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, there was a Rifleman played Auburn basketball named Chuck Person because he shot all the time. Problem is, Chuck got arrested recently for some nefarious activities off the court, and I think Chuck might be in prison. So you're a different Rifleman than
not associated with the other Rifleman.
Did it have anything to do with the rifle, why he got arrested?
It did not. It did not. I have to look up exactly what it was. He was on Bruce Pearl's staff up to like 3 or 4 years ago and got in trouble. So he's not. You're not that Rifleman. You're our Rifleman.
Not associated with the actual Rifleman.
No, not zero with Chuck. Yes. With Chuck Person, and because he shot all the time, and then Chuck Connor, Chuck Person. Now you're Connor Newt, so you're on the backside of that, which is good.
Cool.
So we've only gone 12 minutes, and we have accomplished zero.
I'm fine with that.
That's all we got here. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk more Titans at 12:30. Logan Robinson from Bucks Game Day is going to join us. And look, we love PK. We love Teron. But we're going to get a completely different look at the Titans football team from the other side. And what do they think about the Titans? What do they think about Cam Ward? Guy was at practice yesterday and held some great videos of Jeffrey Simmons and the tussles that went on and all that. We'll come back next with more of that. You're listening to the Chase and Big Joe Show right here on 102.5 The Game. Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. If I could get away with playing Steve Earle all day long, by God, I would. All right, Connor Newton with me today. Parker Kelly behind the glass. A lot of fun. Our question of the day is, they just released the top 50 funniest movies of all time. We have problem with it because a lot of those movies we don't think deserve to be even be in the top 50. And we want to hear from you, 615-737-1025. Did you ever see Borat?
I tried it. And it's fine. I think it's a bit overblown.
Okay. Slick says, the first time I saw Borat, I was literally crying in the theater. You know, a movie is funny when you have to rewatch it so you can catch all the jokes that you missed the first time because you're laughing too hard to hear them. Borat made it at number 28 on the list, too, as well. Nevada Josh comes in and says, too many to pick one. Anchorman's pretty fun, and you can't go wrong with Cheech and Chong.
I've never seen Cheech and Chong.
Oh, yeah. It's a different time, different landscape. Cheech and Chong are fantastic.
What about Benchwarmers?
I don't know if Benchwarmers made there? The list or not. Let me see here. I'll check the list there. How you doing today? Good. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Let me give you the top 10 real quick.
Okay.
Benchwarmers, Parker Kelly is not on this list.
Kidding me.
No, right? So number 10 is Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I'm fine. You didn't see it. It's British humor. It's pretty funny. Number 9 is Old School.
With Will Ferrell. Yeah.
So, number 8, Happy Gilmore. Number 7, it's not so much a comedy, but it is a good movie, The Big Lebowski.
I haven't seen that, actually.
It's not bad. Number 6, I laughed one time in this movie. It does not deserve to be in the top 200, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh, that one's, I thought that was funny.
Did not laugh.
Really?
Did not laugh. Number 5 made me laugh, Wedding Crashers.
That's on my list.
Okay. I think it's a top. That deserves to be there.
Yes.
Number 4 is one you've probably never seen, but it's damn funny. If you catch it on cable, watch it. My Cousin Vinny.
I've never seen that.
It is so good. It's really funny.
I've seen it on cable before. I just haven't tuned in.
Number 3 on this list of the top 50 comedies of all time. Number 3, Superbad.
I hated Superbad.
Did you really?
I did not think it was funny.
Oh, there are parts of that.
Now, I think the whole, what is it? What's the license plate?
I don't remember what it is.
Yeah. Killing me. It's super famous. That's funny.
I mean, the scene where McLovin,
that's what it is.
Is in the supermarket trying to buy beer is pretty funny.
Yeah.
And who's the
Jonah Hill?
Yeah. Have you seen him lately?
Yeah, he's lost a lot of weight.
And he's like buffed up. It's crazy. Number 2 is a movie that I did not see the theaters, and I watched it the first time. I was like, nah. Then I've watched it 1,000 times. It gets funnier and funnier and funnier. Step Brothers.
Love Step Brothers.
Deserves to be in the top 10.
One of my
favorite
movies. Cable
made that movie. And, of course, number one is A Hangover. That we'll talk sports in a minute, guys. But everybody, just blowing up here on our text line. 9708 says, Caveman with Ringo Starr's not on the list. No, that movie is something else. It came out, what, in the early 80s, I think so. Don't Mess with the Zohan.
That's Adam Sandler.
Yeah. He was the barber or the stylist.
I didn't like that one.
That went on. All right, Mike and Las Casas. Thank you, Mike. One that gets on the list because I'm older than you guys. Fletch. Fletch is one of the most quotable movies from my generation of all time.
I've never seen
that. With Chevy Chase. It's one of those quotable
movies. I love Chevy Chase, so I will watch that.
And it's good. JD says National Lampoon's Vegas Vacation. I will add to that, JD, all the vacation movies. European Vacation.
That one's all right.
But the original one and Vegas Vacation are pretty funny.
Yeah.
As well.
The original one. I mean, Christmas is always going to be the best one to me. But the original one where they go to Wally World is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's so good. It's hard to believe that movie came out in like 1982 or 1983, so long ago when it came out. It's crazy. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in on anything, topics we have today. All right, we'll get back to talk to the Titans here for a little bit. We have guests coming at 12:30. Logan Robinson for Bucks Game Day. Do we have a call?
We have like five calls.
Oh, I can't read anything.
I got him right here.
Connor's got him. The Rifleman's got him. Take it, Rifleman.
I got him. Tommy in Lebanon on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tommy, what's up, my man? Tommy.
I think he dropped.
Oh, no. Tommy, call back. I'm sorry.
Tommy. Let's go to Bill on our phone line. Bill, what's up, my friend?
Bill.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, it's Neil, not Bill. I don't know why he said that. That's amazing.
Well,
now, one of my favorite comedy movies of all time, Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis, The Campaign.
Oh.
If you have not watched that movie, you will laugh. The one he plays Cam Brady?
Yes. Yes.
Hilarious,
you know what?
Dude.
That is a great movie. A very underrated comedy because some of the things that were said in there and some of the things they did, you're laughing out loud, like constantly. That's a great one. The Campaign.
That to me is Will Ferrell's funniest movie from top to bottom. I don't care what I'll argue that. It's even better than Talladega Nights.
That's pretty funny. Pretty good. So, thank you, Neil. Appreciate you, brother.
Hey, not a problem. Y'all have an amazing day, man. God bless you guys.
All right, you too.
Thanks,
man.
Neil. Have you seen The Other Guys with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg?
I didn't like it.
Really?
What's wrong with me?
I don't know. Because that's probably one of the funniest movies I've ever
think
seen.
I thought Will Ferrell's overacting on that.
This has to be the most popular question of the day because I cannot handle all these phone calls back here.
You got
There's
it,
like
buddy.
17 of them.
Have you seen the new Naked Gun yet?
First 20 minutes. Fantastic, and then they were like, we're bored, just do this and do that.
Yeah,
first 20 minutes were great. We got more calls.
Oh yeah, we got it.
You're in charge of the calls.
Okay,
Connor.
Let's go to Howard on our phone line. Howard, are you with us? Are you having trouble with the
again.
Phone back there? Howard, are you with us?
Howard,
hear me?
Yeah, man.
Yes, sir.
So I think that the old people or whoever you told were probably a lot younger than me, but Animal House has got to be the best comedy. And another one, which is a sports movie, well, Slapshot.
Slapshot's great.
Hold on, Howard. Don't go anywhere. Animal House. Oh, I'm going to be mad. Animal House is not on this list.
See, that's a huge mistake. They've obviously polled a bunch of people who were in their 20s or maybe early 30s, but Animal House. I saw that in the theater when I was a teenager, and you roared and you laughed from beginning to end.
It's still relevant today. I mean, if you're going off to college today, you watch Animal House, you'll still laugh. You know what's even funny about that? That was Kevin Bacon's first ever movie in Animal House. It just makes me laugh because that Kevin Bacon's like 17 years old doing that, and neither is Slapshot on this. Howard, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you weighing in, man. Got more? The Rifleman, you're in charge of the phones, brother.
They're all anonymous here. I can't really see. Tommy is back on with us. Tommy, how are you, sir? Parker, you're struggling with those phones back there.
You
want to
come? You want to come back here? No. It's a madhouse.
That's all right. Where is Tommy on yet? We got Tommy.
No, I can't hear him. So.
All right.
I mean,
I'm trying my best back here, guys. I really am.
Okay, take your deep breath. 2312 says Caddyshack. Caddyshack comes in at 16th on this list by Circle Ranks app users. All time. So Caddyshack cracks at 16. Caddyshack, to me, might be the most quoted movie in my lifetime.
Yeah, I've seen it. I was younger then, so I could probably watch it now and think it's a lot funnier. But
so, like at number 48, a movie called Knives Out.
Knives Out isn't even a comedy.
I thought it was terrible.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
I didn't even know what that is. It's a murder mystery.
It's with Chris Evans, guy that played Captain America.
It's Daniel Craig, who was James Bond.
Oh, okay.
Chris Evans. It's fine. It's nothing great.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood at 31, that's not a comedy.
That was Brad Pitt and
Leo.
Leo, yeah. Yeah. That was a good movie, though.
They just did this list to irritate us.
I think this is made by young people that don't understand what a comedy movie is.
I mean, there's a few older movies in there, like Major League makes it.
Major League's great.
How did we not mention that already?
Major League comes in. I'll do the 20 through 11. Meet the Parents at 20. Bridesmaids, 19. Bridesmaids, very funny. I know you're like, oh, I'm not watching it. I'm telling you, it's a funny movie. Groundhog Day at 18. 40-Year-Old Virgin at 17. Caddyshack, 16. Days in Confusion at 15. Snatch at 14. Office Space at 13. Anchorman, 12. Ferris Bueller's Day Off at 11.
Where's Ricky Bobby?
Talladega did not make the list, according to this. Semi-Pro did at 45.
Semi-Pro's good.
Came in. Like Blazing Saddles at 34. By the way, do not play any clips from Blazing Saddles.
Oh, please
Saddles.
Do not.
Whatever you do, just don't.
It does not hold up today.
I'm just telling you right now, don't do that. Grown Ups, 28. Dodgeball, 27. So continue these on with us. These are fun to talk about because you guys are fantastic, because I'd rather take y'all's list than this dumb list that they're giving us out here, which some movies, I just don't like. Meet the Parents? It's funny.
One I liked, my mom likes it, and kind of forced it on me, and I ended up enjoying it. Father of the Bride with
the original,
yes,
with Steve Martin.
Steve Martin,
yeah. Well, that's the remake of the original,
Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Yes,
pretty funny.
It is. I will give you that.
What's the movie with all the Catholic nuns? Was it The Help?
That was Sister Act and Sister Act 2.
Okay.
The Help. That's completely different. Help is what you need with the phones back there.
That is true.
All right, we will take a break. We're after Talk Some Sports Next. We'll go down to Tampa and talk to Logan Robinson. He's with Bucks Game Day. I'm looking forward to this. Get a different view of the Titans from the opposing sideline instead of the one we're used to talking about all the time. The Rifleman is in today. Parker Kelly as well. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, brought to you by the Omni National Hotel, right here on 102.5 The Game.
You were worried that B wasn't going to drop, were you?
I thought that was something you play when you enter the bedroom. I was like, what the hell is this? Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5 The Game. The Rifleman's in with me today, Parker Kelly behind the glass. We'll take your responses to the top one. What do you think the funniest movie of all time? Coming off this really atrocious list we've been reading, what they think the top 50 funny movies of all time are. 615-737-1025. Now let's head down to Tampa. Let's bring in Logan Robinson. He's with Bucks Game Day. He was at the practice yesterday. I bugged him on Twitter to get on here, and Logan is here. Logan, good afternoon, man. How are you?
Good afternoon. Doing good. Out of that heat from yesterday, enjoying the day off, so feeling a lot better today.
Oh, I love it. We loved your video yesterday at practice. We get the Titans perspective on this side of the street. I want to get what you thought about the Titans yesterday, Logan, from top to bottom, starting with Cam Ward and making your way down.
Cam Ward is an impressive guy, so I actually cover Florida State Seminoles, so got to know Cam Ward quite a bit last year while covering FSU and the Miami matchup. So it was really intriguing for me going into the practice to watch Cam Ward and how he looked. He's a guy that, like, in person, he's so relaxed in the pocket. That's what a lot of the beat members from the Tennessee Titans were telling me. It's something that you're not really used to. Also, too, a lot of the guys from the Bucks side were talking about Cam Ward and just the way that he plays. You just kind of can't read him too well, but he was doing a good job getting some passes off in the secondary against the Bucks. And I think to me the biggest thing is if they can protect Cam Ward, allow him to have his time. We know he's got an arm and he can get the ball downfield, but he's an impressive young man. And I really like the way that he works in the pocket. If he can improve and just get developmental aspects in there, I mean, I think he's someone that could be special for the Titans. Just got to put some pieces around him.
So even though he's been up and down here in camp in Nashville watching him, he's had some really bad days, but he's had some flashes of brilliance. How did he look yesterday running against the Bucs? I think his first pass was intercepted.
It was Hassan Reddick, who's the new member of the Buccaneers. As we all know, he's a guy that kind of had some chatter throughout the offseason of he's going to be one that's going to step up, and he did grab an interception from Cam Ward. It was just a bad throw off to the left side, a short throw as well, as something I wasn't even expecting. Hassan Reddick got the interception. He punted the ball because that was actually right after they had that brawl going on out there on the field. So the defense for the Bucs was fired up. He had Vita Vea, who's a big boy. He was dancing and having a good time. But, yeah, that was Cam. And I think for the team, first-team offense versus first-team defense, and talking about Cam Ward against the Bucs, it was up and down. You had some throws where he was able to go really more intermediate throws, nothing deep for the most part. But that Bucs defense to us throughout training camp has honestly been beating the Bucs offense. So it was not an easy task for Cam Ward.
Oh, that's interesting. Logan Robinson from Bucs Game Day is joining us here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Real quick, the Jarvis Brownlee scrum that he went to the tent, do you know what happened there? Because we haven't figured out what went on there.
Yeah, so that was – it's funny because I also covered Jarvis Brownlee when I was when we cover FSU. He's a guy that likes to chirp and he talks, and I just found that video earlier this morning, and it seemed like he was just jawing with one of the Bucs fans over there, and they were talking trash to him, and I don't think it was as dramatic as I saw on Twitter. People were tweeting. It was just kind of them going at it a little bit, and he walked off back to his teammates, so nothing too crazy. But Jarvis Brownlee, he's a guy, since I covered him in Tallahassee, he's a chirper. And you know what? It was a little fiery. I would say overall, I know we'll probably get into the brawl and everything, but overall there was a lot of energy from both sides. And I thought it was a really good joint practice, better than what the Bucs had last year with the Miami Dolphins.
We're talking to Logan Robinson of Bucs Game Day down in Tampa. Logan, you just kind of alluded to it. I wanted to get into the brawl a little bit, but mainly the Cam Ward aspect of it. It was reported that Cam fired a ball at one of the Bucs players and got involved. What did you see in that moment? What kind of caused that?
So I was with a lot of the media members in the end zone view looking at them. And to me, I did not see where Cam Ward was getting crazy involved. He was actually hanging out, dapping up some of the Bucs players right after, like during the brawl was going on, or at least afterward. I don't know what happened initially, though, if Cam Ward was involved as much as maybe some other people were tweeting or showing. I just know for the most part, Cam Ward was just dapping up and getting some high fives from some of the Bucs guys that know him very well. Of course, his social media presence is big, and also Shiloh Sanders is there as well. Those two have a good relationship. So to me, maybe Cam Ward is getting a little fiery a tiny bit, but I don't think it was more maybe on the O-line and the D-line getting after with one another.
Was there any urgency from either coaching staff to break up the skirmish, or did they just let him have it?
They just let him go. That's kind of the way, at least from – since covering the NFL side the last, 5 years or so, these coaches just let them go. I actually saw when I filmed Cody Mauch and going against Simmons and that fight going on, one of the coaches was just smiling the whole time and just letting it go. I mean, these guys have been tired of the heat. It's hot as hell. It was 100 degrees yesterday out there on the practice field, so probably 115 degrees to those guys in pads. But the coaches were smiling. I mean, that's just kind of just how it's going to be. They're tired of hitting one another. So when they got their first chance to go against somebody else, you know, it's a fun feeling. So it was all respectable at the end. A lot of guys after practice hanging out and signing autographs. So it was all good at the end.
Sure, yeah. Logan, one more from me. On the practice front, the Buccaneers obviously have one of, if not the most elite wide receiver rooms in the NFL. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, just drafted Emeka Egbuka. How did the Titans secondary look stacked up to that wide receiver room?
I thought for the most part, So Emeka Egbuka started off hot in one-on-ones. He was able to get a deep shot that I think was all across social media for a good bit. He was able to get a good grab. But I'll be honest with you, though, when there were seven-on-seven, those DBs were really tight on Egbuka. Egbuka had two drops. Jarvis Brown, like we were talking about earlier, he's a guy that likes to get physical, too, right at the line and press. But then also, too, you know, Mike Evans did make some grabs. You know, that's just Mike Evans, though. Him and Baker Mayfield, since Baker Mayfield arrived, those guys have clicked immediately. So Mike Evans did have some good grabs and had some deep shots as well. Outside of that, I would say maybe Jalen McMillan for the Bucs was able to find some strides against the Titans secondary. But I'd say for the most part, though, it wasn't easy for the Bucs offense, which last year was one of the best in the league. And that's the thing. The Bucs have to improve. They got to do better as well with the new offensive coordinator with Josh Grizzard coming in. So a lot of adjustments for the Bucs offense. But I would say the Titans, at least the defensive back room, were able to make some plays and, most importantly, make some plays on some balls. Almost had a few interceptions as well.
Logan Robinson from Bucs Game Days on the Chase and Big Joe's show. Your impressions of Jeffrey Simmons, I think we shared your video a billion times up here in Nashville of the one-on-one. Simmons is kind of the pulse of that defense. What was your reaction to Jeffrey yesterday?
Man, he's a unit. mean, you know, I love football. I only played it in high school, but I just think it's insane how big some of these guys can look at times. And, you know, we're around Vita Vea. And Vita Vea is a different kind of specimen, as we all know. But Jeffrey Simmons is a unit. Yeah, he's a big boy, and he was the one that was actually chirping the most. I would say he was the one that kind of started everything with Cody Mauch. He was the one that chirping right after. So they already had a rep before that, before they started fighting with one another. They had a rep where Cody Mauch, I'd say, probably won it a little bit, but Cody was talking, and Jeffrey was like, I'm ready to go back. Let's do it again. And so once Jeffrey got down and got into his three-point stance, I mean, those guys were ready to just get after it with one another. And I think Jeffrey Simmons is a really impressive player. And I know for the Titans, you all want to see him be a massive presence for y'all, because that's what you need there in the defensive line room to make plays and be a game changer. And he's a fun dude to watch. And I was actually watching after practice, and he was all cool and dapping up all the Bucs players. I'm sure he and Cody exchange some good words,
right?
Word, but that's what you want. You want football. You want definitely defensive lineman. You want that dude to be nasty and get back there. Jeffrey Simmons is one of my favorite players in the league, just because of the way that he plays with the tenacity.
I think it's thanks for the rundown. Last question here for that. Can somebody just hire John Gruden? Just give him a job.
Sure.
Right?
I know, right? I know. And, you know, you're seeing him on Barstool now, and it's been great because, I mean, you get some really good content from him. But I really wish I could have ran by and saw him yesterday. He's a really fun dude, and he's all around doing all these things with all these different NFL teams. But I'd love to see John Gruden back on the field. He did say, I think it was like last week or something, where he wants to get back out there coaching. And he's just super fun to talk with. And imagine having him on the show. It'd be so
fun. Oh, my goodness. I still think, Logan, he right now, John Gruden on the field is the most influential football person in the country. I just think people, they love him. Every college team and pro team loves that guy.
That's what I'm saying, because he also just he remembers all these names. He knows all the players. He knows all the coaches. He has all different stories and everything. He's just a special person, and he actually does a lot for the media, for the Bucs media behind the scenes, and he's a really good guy, and hopefully maybe he'll get that next opportunity. But right now I'm really enjoying what he's going to give us, definitely going into this next NFL season. Tons of content coming our way from him.
I absolutely agree. Logan Robinson, thank you at Bucs Game Day. Man, we appreciate you. Thanks for the insight. This was really good, man. Have a good day. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Good luck this season.
Thanks, all right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks,
Logan Robinson. With see, now listen, that was an unbiased opinion of the Titans, because we see him out there. You and Parker right. have been out there all the time, good and the bad. He said they basically toe-to-toe with a pretty good Bucs team.
Yeah, and that's been kind of the narrative on Twitter. Like, these Titans media, no offense to them, they make it out, all the Titans had the worst practice of all time. And then you see kind of the Bucs Twitter. The Bucs had the worst practice of all time.
Yeah.
It was nice to hear a Bucs guy with an unbiased standpoint saying, yeah, they both looked pretty good. They were both going toe-to-toe, and it was pretty even practice.
Man, talk about the description of Jeffrey Simmons. He's a unit.
It is funny to hear how he's viewed outside of this city.
Yeah, they love it. I mean, he's just a massive dude, man. It's crazy. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Our question of the day is, what do you think the funniest movie of all time is? We have one of the worst top 50 just released, what they think funny movies of all time are. But before we do that, 615-737-1025. I'm not a big preseason football guy. I'm watching a game tonight because of one thing. And I think a lot of other people will as well. We'll tell you what that is. The Rifleman is in today with me, as well as Parker Kelly. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back into the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5 The Game. The Rifleman, Connor Newt's in today. Chase is at his last day at Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, hanging out with Skid Row, Cinderella, White Snake.
I heard Winger was coming out today, too.
Winger. Winger lives here in Nashville, by the way.
Do they?
Do he?
It's him.
It's one guy.
It's one guy.
Winger, yep.
I thought it was a band.
It is a band, but
I only know one song.
That's all we all know, too, as well. So he's managed to parlay that into 40 years of doing that. So Chase will be back here. It was White Snake, Rat, Skid Row, and Cinderella.
I heard they're cooking kale today.
I can't. Chase sent me a note. He's like, Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, huh? And I was like, yep. Have some songs ready to go when you get back here on Monday. Now, Chase is on a little vacation right there. We'll get back to our question of the day. What do you think is the funniest movie of all time coming off this awful list by this movie-going company that has their top 50 funniest movies, which are awful? They say The Hangover's number one. 615-737-1025. I think we had such a mass volume of calls that came in at one time. We're good now. Parker Kelly took a deep breath. We're good back there. By the way, Parker Kelly's hair is evolving into George Jones. You're getting George Jones hair.
Is that a
there.
Good or bad thing?
That's a great thing.
Okay.
You look like Donald Trump Jr. right now.
Pipe down, Rifleman. Ryan Kalkbrenner.
Oh, that's great.
Ryan Kalkbrenner.
615-737-1025. What do you think the funniest movie is, in your opinion, out there? We'll read all these come up in a little bit. But tonight, Shedeur Sanders is starting for the Browns. I can't wait to watch this. I am rooting big time for this young man. Are you? No, but a lot of people aren't, which is fine. I am.
I was talking about this before we got in the year together. If Shedeur Sanders goes out there and plays out of his mind and throws for over 100 yards, Twitter is going to melt down.
Yes.
And say, this guy should have been the number one overall pick. And it'll be even worse tomorrow if Cam Ward has a bad day and Shedeur Sanders looks good.
Oh, yeah.
Titans Twitter is going to be, well, we made the mistake. Not all of Titans Twitter. Just
right?
A certain vocal minority of Titans Twitter. Well, we made a mistake. We should have drafted Shedeur Sanders. To which I say, 31 other teams also passed up on Shedeur Sanders.
Times four.
He was a fifth-round guy.
Yeah.
I'm expecting not a lot out of Shedeur tonight, but I will be watching simply just to see what he does.
Yeah, I want to see him in action. Who are the Browns playing?
Oh, good question.
Are they playing Vrabel?
The Panthers.
Ah, damn it. I hope they play Vrabel. All right, play the Panthers. Well, I mean, that's good. I mean, yeah. I want to see him succeed. I think he's a good quarterback. And I know people like, well, he knew anything Colorado. What I mean, 13-12. I understand all that.
Right.
But he's not a bad quarter. I saw him. What game did I watch against Colorado played last year? I forget what it was. I mean, they beat the snot out of him. And that dude popped up.
That was Nebraska.
Was it Nebraska?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was. Yes.
Dylan Raiola. Yep.
Yes. They beat the snot out of him. He popped up and just kept going. I'm like, all right. This is beyond talent. I mean, this is grind and grit. You want to get this team on your back. I had no problem with it. Now, he slipped and fell. I get all that. But the Browns might have, if he succeeds, might have one of the biggest steals of all time.
Yes. But it's a low-risk pick for them because he was drafted in the fifth round. If he sucks and he flames out, then
right.
Guess what? You sacrificed a fifth-round pick. Not a lot of guys come out of the fifth round and become all-pro NFL players. That's just not how it works.
Right. I mean, you look at Purdy. Came in the seventh round.
Right.
And he's got that massive contract. It just doesn't happen. I mean, there are more flameouts, first-round picks, probably than anything else that's happened throughout history. It just doesn't happen. So I want to see how good he is tonight, run the offense. Let me ask you this. Here's a question I got. I was watching the Raiders-Seahawks game last night because I can't sleep at night. And
are you okay?
Yeah, not really. The second or third team quarterback for the – was it the Seahawks? Or I don't remember. And you come in and you're just handing the ball off, right?
For Seattle?
Yeah.
Okay.
And just handing the ball off. I'm like, if I'm going in there, and all it was part of the Ravens too, the Ravens third team quarterback. And I'm thinking, if I go in there and I'm competing for a job, I'm not handing the ball off. I'm audibling out of every play to throw the ball. Am I dumb in that?
No.
Hell, I can hand the ball off.
No.
Especially if you're auditioning for a backup
role. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. You got it. You're auditioning. You're on the fringe of being cut, especially if you are a third string quarterback. Like, if I'm Tim Boyle for the Titans, I'm checking out of every single run play, and I'm just slinging the ball downfield.
You're letting that thing
go, baby. Yes!
Bombs over Baghdad. Just letting that thing go.
Right? I'm not going to hand the ball off. And I'm certainly not going to run some dumb RPO when I can't run.
Right.
I'm going to launch it.
You've got a third-string offensive line in there. You're not going to have any time.
Because if you look at the highlight and say, Connor Newt with the Browns last night, look at this 87-yard bomb he threw instead of, hey, Bill Smith had a 57-yard touchdown run. Nobody knows your name.
Yeah.
I'll be throwing the ball down the field constantly.
And people will say, well, that's defying the coach and the system. If I'm the coach and I see a quarterback do that and complete and, you know, make a good result out of a audible play,
yeah,
that to me screams leadership.
Yep.
That screams, okay, he's a little stubborn, but he's teachable. And we can develop this guy into something.
If you know you're going to get cut, it's like, all right, I'm going to get cut on Monday. I got a game Saturday.
Nothing to lose.
You're damn right I'm going out there. Rich Gannon is one of the most underrated quarterbacks of all time. Out of Delaware, spent a lot of time with the Vikings, bouncing around, ended up with the Raiders. He did that in preseason games. He really showed who he was and capable of running the offense. I would have that. I'm not handing the ball off.
Now, the reality is, if someone were to do that, most of the time I think ownership would say, yeah, he's probably not going to make the team anyway, so we're just going to go ahead and cut him. But I'm with you. If I am in that situation, hell yeah, I'm going, I got nothing to lose. Might as well just showcase my talent.
Yeah, that's all you got to do. And, you know, like we've had Tim Hasselbeck has said time and time again, keep playing till all 32 teams tell you to beat it.
Yep.
Keep playing. Keep playing. You got tape. Tomorrow night, Tim Boyle puts something on tape. The Bucs signed Teddy Bridgewater, right?
Yes.
They might cut him when Baker's healthy and their backup's healthy. And then, but he's got like, hey, here's what I did in a preseason game. Bridgewater's already got tape
it's
out there.
It's an audition tape for another team. Look at Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner was on the Green Bay Packers practice squad, right?
Yep, that's right.
Didn't go in at a certain time when he was told, at least that's what the movie was. I'm sure it was glorified.
Sure.
Oh, but I saw it. It was great. I loved it.
It was good. But gets cut by the Packers.
Right.
Goes to the Arena League for a while.
Iowa Barnstormers.
What do you know about the Iowa Barnstormers, man?
Thank you, John Gruden. Anyways, that's all audition tape.
Yep.
And he gets signed by the Los Angeles Rams, or they were St. Louis at the time.
Right.
And they wins a Super Bowl. He's the MVP of the league. That is a very, very extreme case of something like this
happening. But it can happen.
But it can happen. It is a possibility.
I mean, you look at opportunity. If Trent Green doesn't get his knee blown out in a preseason game in 99, we never hear of Kurt Warner. We never hear of him. He doesn't play, doesn't start, doesn't do anything. He might bounce around a few more teams. But you get your opportunity to do that and to shine and make it happen. And Kurt Warner did just that and ended up being in the Super Bowl. Real quick, his movie that came out, right? Mm. So I used to work with a guy that got into a Twitter battle with Kurt Warner. So Kurt Warner's movie came out, and the guy replied back to him and says, yeah, you're still trash. And Kurt Warner said, excuse me? And he's like, yeah, you're trash. And this went on. Kurt Warner kept responding to him. I'm like, Kurt, stop responding to
him. Giving him everything he wants.
One has a gold jacket, the other person doesn't.
And
so.
The bottom line was this guy was a Titans fan. He was mad that they lost. It's finally came out, and Kurt's like, I'm sorry for that, but I hardly think I'm trash. I'm like, quit responding back to this friend of mine all he's doing is trolling you on this and to say that you were trash. And Kurt Warner's far from trash. I mean, the guy went to 3 Super Bowls, probably should have won the 3rd one with the Cardinals. I mean, he took the Cardinals with Ken Whisenhunt's dumbass to a Super Bowl in 2000 and should have won the game. Didn't win because Big Ben had that pass to Santonio Holmes on the side over there. But
the famous toe tap.
The famous toe tap. Exactly right. But I'm telling you, man, if you're a quarterback, let it go, man. Let it go.
Now, Sonny on the text line makes an interesting point. What about that third string running back that's also trying to make the team and you're taking reps away from him?
Who's got the ball? Who makes the call?
Who's calling the plays? Not the running back.
Yeah, go in and kind of want to get a single wing. Hey, coach, if you're on the single wing, get the ball back.
If Tajay Spears is the one calling the plays, I think we got a different problem.
Yes, we do. All right, that's the first hour here. We got lots more coming your way, including we'll talk more Titans going on, but there is a list of the top 40 most important players in college football in 2025. Two of them have local ties. One of them is really way up there, which I was like, ah, this is good because I like him. I didn't think he'd make the list, but he's up there. We'll tell you about that list coming up next. The Rifleman's in for Chase today. Parker Kelly behind the glass. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show right here on 102.5 The Game.